What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Wednesday Hump Day edition.
What's up? What's happening, man? A lot going on, right?
A lot going on. And we got a lot of places to go today, but something I just saw on Twitter, I'm going to bring up immediately. A Tibetan Mastiff in China was sold, a dog, was sold for over $1 million.
A Tibetan Mastiff, that's mean somebody's got a lot of money. Now, they're beautiful dogs, dude. Beautiful dog, but you gotta have a lot of kiss my ass money for a dog. I tell you right now, I'm being on now. This is gonna sound crazy, and I ain't bullshit. I wouldn't sell one of my dogs for $1 million right now. I would not do it. That's the honest to God truth. If you came to me and said, "Here's $1 million cash for Kilo, my 100-pound bully," I would not sell that dog. So I'm talking about to somebody who's a great owner. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't sell it. I wouldn't sell it to one of my kids for $1 million. Now that dog's looks like he belongs on a fun show or in a cartoon. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't sell any of my three dogs for $1 million cash if you came. I know people can say bullshit. I'm telling you, I would not. I wouldn't pay $1 million for a dog, Segs. Now that's the difference. That's a beautiful dog. If somebody has Mastiff, you know, a hard on for a Mastiff, and it's like taking Cialis. I'm not saying now some people are going to say, "Oh, it gets hard because you want the dog." Well, there's some freaky shit going on in this world, but I'm talking about that. If it gets in your, you're like, "I got to have that dog," and I'm willing. It's like a baseball card, right, Segs? Here's $3 million for a Pete Rose baseball card. Okay, I get why you love the dog, and if you got money that you want to keep, make sure that dog's taken care of, and you're a Mastiff fanatic. Spend your money however you. I'd rather have you spend it to save the dog than do something stupid with $1 million to harm some animal or something, right? I'm never paying $1 million for a dog, even if I got $1 billion. Why? Because I can get a dog a lot cheaper that I love that needs love as well. I'll leave the $1 million purchase for somebody else. But I promise you, and I know you think I'm bullshit, I would not. If you came and said, "Here is $1 million cash," and you had it in a James Bond briefcase, "I want Kilo. I want one of your dogs." I would not sell my dog for $1 million. You can buy the house. You can buy whatever the hell you could buy my right nut for $1 million if you want. I got two of them, I think. Okay. But you ain't getting my dogs for maybe. Yeah, so I've been told. All right. Here, you want a finger? I can operate with four. I can still grip a golf club.
You could breed your dog and sell the puppies for $1 million each. That sounds like a good deal.
Well, and maybe that's their plan. You know what I mean, Segs? I don't know. But I am not selling my dog for $1 million, and I'm sitting here. Test me. If somebody wants to say, "Shawna, you're bullshitting," come on, test me. I'm easy to find. You test me. You send me right here on this comment. Say, "I got it. Show me the cash, and I'll offer it." And I can probably tell you right now, I can guarantee you're wasting your time. I wouldn't do it. Now, on the other side, I think you're a nut job to spend $1 million on a dog. Yeah. But I'm okay with that if you're keeping that dog safe. So yeah. I know, Segs, because if you had a puppy for $1 million, you're selling that bastard for $1 million, even though I mean you loved it.
See ya. Yeah, and we don't have a dog right now. You know, my wife's allergic. A couple of the kids are allergic to stuff. Eventually, we'll get a dog. But, yeah, if someone comes offering me a cool $1 million, tax free.
I can't do it.
He's out.
Look at my USMC EA4N USMC. My dog wishes I'd sell him. I have a 2 and 5 year old. I get it because they're probably grabbing him and pulling his ears or the rest of it. So yeah, man, I wouldn't do it, Segs. But that's a beautiful dog. But for $1 million, damn, that's loving a dog right there. So, but yeah. I ain't the one. But I ain't selling mine, any of them, for $1 million.
We got a lot to talk about.
Old man's giving the wife up for $1 million.
Hell yeah. See ya. Hopefully my wife isn't watching.
That's tax free too. So you've got $1, it's gotta $4, be tax right? Free. $3.
Tax free.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wifey can go. All right. We got a ton to talk about today. We're going to talk World Series game 4 last night. We're going to talk. I saw an NIL, or not NIL, I just read NIL, a coach's hot seat kind of ranking of who's the hottest. I think we can talk about that today or tomorrow. But I want to start in the NFL, Sean. We've been kind of teasing this the last couple of days. And I said this past week, from Thursday to Monday, we only had one game decided by single digit points. And that was that Jets game where they came back from down double digits to beat the Cincinnati Bengals 39-38 in a crazy game right. that probably a lot of people didn't watch because it's two bad teams. All the rest of the games, mostly two touchdown wins, and 12 of the 13 games were double digit wins. Do you feel like this is kind of the NFL being top heavy? Do you feel like it's just kind of product of the NFL right now? What do you take with that, with the way this past weekend went in the NFL?
I think the haves are pretty damn good at the top, but I think there's more have nots that either don't know how to scout and evaluate talent, even though they think they do. General managers get more hot. General managers and athletic directors are the greatest, hall pass job in the world. The guys you hired can be shitty and you still keep your job. How Andrew Berry still has a job in Cleveland is beyond me. How these athletic directors that spend $100 million on these mm-hmm. coaches and then the coach sucks and they run them out. You're costing the university $50, $60, $70, $80 million. You hired him. You're attached at the hip. You're going to take all the credit when those sumbitches win a world champ, win a national championship, though. You'll be up there holding that trophy, in whether it's college or a Super Bowl trophy, if you can. But the deal is they ain't going to hold one because the general managers a lot around this league at right. times are not the experts you think they are. They just got hired to assume they're an expert. So I can tell you this. I think that I'm going to say it plain and simple. With all this shortened training camp, rules in the league, lack of commitment and buy-in to certain coaches and coaches to players, overabundance of money of guaranteed contracts that make you say, I got mine. Coaches hiring buddies. It says it's a take the pie, cut it into 8 pieces all you want, or 12 if you got the extra large pizza, if that's what it is. But I think the shittier is far worse than the good is good in this league. That's why you see those scores and you see them on a regular basis. And quite frankly, some of them just aren't competitive. You're watching not. It's like a batter swinging at a pitch. Did you see like his second strike last night in one of his at-bat segs? I'm going back when Bichette was at the plate and Otani threw him about a 4-foot hook and it landed a yard outside the strike zone and he waved at it. It was so non-competitive. And Bichette's a damn good hitter.
Yeah.
Waved at it. That's the NFL every week, some way, shape, or form. It's rare that you're when a good team plays a bad team, the bad team either pulls off some upset that we can't believe, Atlanta beating whoever the Buffalo was, it Buffalo that they
Buffalo,
smoked?
Yes.
Right. Or you get the good team usually hammering the bad team. But it's not the close one. Usually the bad team. So how did that happen? We're shocked, right? How does Cleveland, when Flacco's there, beat Green Bay 13-10, right? So I think the awful, the bottom third of the shit, the matter of fact, I'm going to even go 14, 15 teams are, for the most part, so inconsistently good and really consistently bad, you can just wash them away. And then you get the top-heavy teams. And then there's that second tier where sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not, yet they're playoff contenders, and we still got them in a Super Bowl run. Look at Buffalo. And this is not – listen, I love their fans. I'm a huge Buffalo Bills fan. But when you just look at the raw data and who they are, they've got a great running back, a great quarterback. They haven't beat anybody. They've not beat anybody this year.
And
we still got them as they're one of the – and I know it's because Josh is so good and they've got Cook who's playing well. They've got some veteran players. But my point is if you're just judging the body of work this year, you're looking at Buffalo saying – how are they any more impressive than somebody else who's beat? I mean, if it was somebody we didn't like beating those teams, you know what we'd say, Segs? If it didn't have a Josh Allen who's a great player, you know what we'd say? Or the constant love of Buffalo every year, we think this is the year, this year. You know what we'd be saying? Oh, I'm not giving that team any credit. They ain't beat anybody yet. If it's the NBA early season and you beat 4 hacks and aren't going to the playoffs, you're not going to give any team credit for beating 4 hacks, right? Now, you'd rip them to death if they lost 3 of those 4 games getting beat by bad teams. I think the league is shittier. I think the training camps are worse. I think the attention to detail is worse because training camp is shorter. You go to training camp now to get out of training camp. You really do. Instead of grind and get it done. Well, Sean, does that matter? Yeah, it does matter. Because you watch these teams, you're like, that mistake wouldn't have been made if you'd have been in camp a week longer or had been able to go 2 days in pads. So I think it's all that, Segs. I do, and it's just – everything, the instant gratification, quit on this guy, put this guy in, do this, don't tackle. And I'm going to tell you what, football's tackling is awful. The two things, bad tackling and offensive line play in this league, I'm talking about on the whole. Not the good ones, no, I'm not talking to them. So if you're offended, think I'm talking to your team, then know the room and understand what I'm talking about, because I do know about this. Mm-hmm. Offensive line play in this league overall, Segs, is absolute dog shit. Could I do it better? Absolutely. Well, Sean, could you do it? No, I couldn't. But I damn well tell you, I could keep them in protections better to protect the dog shit and actually put some cologne on it for a half if I need to. But the offensive line play, defensive lines are so much better overall.
Well, part of that's the training camp thing. You cut training camp.
That's practice.
You cut the physicality.
Technique and physicality. Of course you do. And then we got the rules that limit physicality. So finesse hangs around. But then we don't call it as bad in the postseason, and the physical teams rear their head and beat the finesse teams. Because we finally let them play like we do in the NBA playoffs. In hockey, we get to thump a guy a little more. We let a guy take an elbow to the rib cage in basketball a little more. It's almost like they put a mandate out, let them play at the end of the year.
Yeah.
At the beginning. So all that coming to one, listen. If you wanted to get an enema or a prostate check, last Sunday would have been the day to do it watching the NFL. Because you would at least had a little thrill a minute because somebody went one knuckle deep. Here, I couldn't even find anybody to go one knuckle deep and I have to watch the doggone trash they're throwing us in TV.
Yeah.
And I know what some trash and throwing interceptions felt like. I've thrown a few in my day, so I get it. But the constant, I mean, it was awful. It was Alabama versus Tennessee Chattanooga 50 times last week.
Yeah.
That's what it was on Sunday. It's exactly right.
And someone just pointed out, or Dr. J just pointed out, the Falcons made Miami look like a physical team. You talked about the Falcons beat the Buffalo Bills a few weeks back. Then they come. Yes, Michael Penix didn't play, but you still had Kirk Cousins, who's probably a starting quarterback in this league somewhere. If he was just open to play anywhere, if he's a free agent,
he's already starting for the Jets or somebody else. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So Miami comes in and beats the shit out of the Falcons. It's just the NFL just continues. It feels like every year kind of make less and less sense. And, you know.
Yeah. And anytime we mistake the Miami Dolphins for a physical team is when you know football's at its lowest. Yeah. Okay.
You know, did something wrong. So just a bad slate. We'll see what happens this weekend. But we also had some news. And remember, here in a couple seconds, I'm going to ask you who your MVP is. I know who mine is. But Aiden Hutchinson, we've kind of mentioned him a few times over the last few weeks, being really good on that good Detroit Lions team. He gets paid today, a 4-year extension, $180 million. That's $45 million a year, just below, not Miles Garrett. Who was the last guy? Micah Parsons.
Micah
got
Parsons.
$46 million. Aiden Hutchinson gets $45, and then you've got Miles Garrett's in there at about $40, and somebody else is in there about
$40. Trey Hendrickson, all those guys come in.
All those guys, So, I mean, good move by Detroit, obviously. Keeping your best defensive player.
Great move. And the one thing about it is, Figs, we pay people to get sacks. That you get paid. If you're an edge rusher and you haven't tackled a guy in a month and a half, but you can tackle the quarterback on a sack, you're getting paid.
Yeah.
Now, here's where Hutchinson comes in. The guy's a two-way player. What I mean by that, not two ways on each side, is that if you're going to try to get physical with him, he's either quick enough to get around or physical enough to handle his own against guys that are bigger than him.
Right.
And he's finesse and got enough moves. And Segs, he doesn't know how to play yet. The guy is still, remember, he missed some time last year. This guy is still in the infancy of his career. Wait till he actually learns how to play 5 years from now and more techniques. And I mean that as a compliment to him, meaning you're not only paying him on potential, you're paying him on the production you've seen in very short career, but a really productive one. No problem paying him. When I get physical and I get defense, and we complain all the time, oh man, the offensive line's got to block. Then why do you get rid of guys that can block? You got to sign those cats, the Anthony Munozes of the world, and you plug them in and you deal with it until they can't play anymore. Same thing on the defensive side with a guy like Hutchinson. Your best players you have to keep there. Because what you do, if you let a guy like that walk eventually and you don't extend him, Segs, all you're doing in your next draft is trying to get up high and get a guy like him under a rookie, yet the rookie's going to take 3 years to get to him, and you'll be lucky to be that. These guys don't just land in your lap. We're fortunate. Karlaftis guys, Myles Garrett, both of the names you just mentioned, TJ Watts, we're pretty fortunate. We got a Micah Parsons. We got a group that might be the deepest good position in the league for at the top six, eight or 10 of those guys that are hell. Hendrickson's really good player, and you're not even putting him in your top five. And we're leaving out Max Crosby. Shit. You're talking that. That's a great group. So when you get guys like that, that's why I'm sure the Raiders have been tempted to trade him, but not tempted enough to get rid of a guy who is a fixture, because you're just going to have to find somebody to replace his ass, and you don't want to do that. So I think this is not only a good get, it's a great get that tells me Detroit's organization's committed for the long haul, and that they know that all the finesse stuff we talk about on offense and the ability to run it, because their offensive line is really good. So they've got both finesse and physical. Now they're adding that to their defense, saying we're not just going to score 38 and give up 34. We're going to score 38 and give up 18 and still kick your ass with our defense. I think it's a great commitment, sends a loud message to your players, and also tells the organization we're not just – this isn't Detroit just a fly-by-night type operation. We are committed to long-term success. I love it. I love it. Yes, and Parsons – Mike, I didn't mean to interrupt. Mike Parsons does struggle against the run, and that's the one name. We mentioned T.J. Watt as well. I did. We put him on the list, but – he's a guy who the contract, will he get it? The injuries and the ref, Pittsburgh's defense right now. And TJ's been great, but Pittsburgh's defense is awful. One guy's not making enough difference for them, and it's a problem. So, but back to it, say that's a position you have to solidify, because if you're not physical in this league, you don't play in February, especially with your front seven.
And that's why you go back to this offseason. You go back to when Micah Parsons was traded from Dallas to Green Bay. And then all of a sudden, you know, we got the trade deadline coming up next Tuesday. What's some of the rumors we hear? Dallas is out there talking to Cincinnati and Vegas about Trey Hendrickson and Max Crosby. And yes, those guys, we saw that graphic that Triple E put up of the salaries of these guys. And you saw Max Crosby on there at about $40 million, I think it was. Micah Parsons making $46 million. I'm sorry. Yes, Micah Parsons, when he's at his best, is $6 million better than Max Crosby. And you're going to pay a huge premium to go get Max Crosby. So I'm just telling you right now that, okay, so it is $10 million. That's a little different. I could see that. But you're still going to pay the two first for Max Crosby.
Yes. Yes. C-Segs, here's the part and I don't get.
It doesn't make sense. You had your
guy. You win it. Right. You had Parsons. He's not great in the run game. You know, he can move around, but we don't pay those guys for the run game. If you get both, it's a bonus. Right. It just is to be able to defend the run and go get the quarterback. Like a lot of those guys that do it are the interior guys, you know, but this guy can play. And when you can move him around, it's a great thing. But the Max Crosby's, Micah Parsons. But here's the deal. Think about this logic with Jerry. You trade Parsons. I think part of it becomes a personality thing, Segs. I think that there comes a part where they got into a pissing match and Jerry was going to prove that he was going to win. So you trade him and you get some assets for him, right? Now you're going to go back in if you do trade for Max Crosby. Let's say it is Max. Mm-hmm. And you bring him to Dallas. You're going to turn right around and give up assets to save $10 million. That's what we're doing here. That's what you're doing here. And the very thing, oh, we get assets for him. What a gig down the road. This is a big win for Dallas. Well, it's not going to be a big win because you're going to get a guy who, if I'm not mistaken, a tad older than Parsons, Segs. On the 2 years. Hasn't he been in the league a couple of years? Okay, yep, there you go. 28 and 26. So you're going to go, right, you're going to go get a guy 2 years older who's a great player. I love Max Crosby, and I hate that my Raiders would lose him. And you're going to get rid of Parsons. Max probably a little bit better in the run game. Not probably, he is. I'm being a bit facetious. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yet Parsons is about as good a pure pass rusher as we have in the league. He's just built for it, right? So you're going to save the money, get rid of some assets you got, and have to add an asset and go give up a couple number one to get Max Crosby. So you're right back where you started. You're right back where you started.
Yeah.
Oh, but I saved $10 million. Would you stop? Would these people stop saving $10 million? I can move the money around any damn way I want when it comes to salary cap after I get the guy into the deal. So it just sometimes the logic, which goes back to our first conversation on this show today, Why are teams so bad?
Yeah.
Why, you watch the Cowboys defense play every week? There you go.
It hurts your eyes to watch them play defense. Who's your NFL MVP right now?
Well, I know it's going to end up being a quarterback when the season's over. I'm just telling you it is. Yeah, and you and I both know that it's going to. Matter of fact, there's probably – you probably right now go five quarterbacks, and the one guy who right today is the MVP in my mind is Jonathan Taylor. He just is. I think offensively. Now, it changes week to week. 2 weeks ago, it was Baker Mayfield for me. He is. But I'm going to tell you who right now, as we go down the stretch, that or who's been part of the moving, you know, had a moving day like at Augusta on Saturday, is Mahomes has thrust himself right into this mix. He has thrust himself right in this mix. I want to throw Daniel Jones in there and say him. He's been fantastic. Without him, and if it was Richardson, Jonathan Taylor's not having the same year he's having. Because why? Because you would just stack the line and say Richardson, and 48% completion guys don't beat anybody. The opposite is true. Ask Elway and John, who was so good. You get Terrell Davis, things change a little bit, because now how do you defend the Colts? And their perimeter people are underrated, Sags. They're damn good. Pittman, they're good. Yeah. They know how to get it done. So I'm going to, you know, Darnold's in it. Mayfield's in it. Daniel Jones in it. Josh Allen in it. Mahomes is in it. To me, every single Drake May, let's not leave him out. I think Drake May is going to be fantastic, and I still think that the New England Patriots can win the division. I think they've been more impressive because they've had to beat different teams in Buffalo, yeah, as not to say it. Now, I know when it all gets down to it, I like Josh Allen with the ball in his hand. Jonathan Taylor, in my mind, has to be, but what they're going to end up doing, he's going to end up being the offensive player of the year, and that's exactly right. And Daniel Jones on Kalshi, good point pick. Couple weeks ago, there's five or six guys. But the way Jonathan Taylor's playing, he's just making Daniel Jones better and better and better and better. But Mahomes is going to creep into this, Sags. I'm just telling you, if he already hasn't in some eyes, I don't know where he is on the Vegas odds. But
a lot of the odds
a month from now, if he isn't, and they keep this up, he will be the odds-on favorite to win it. And Jonathan Taylor will be the odds-on favorite to win Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, yeah. Jonathan Taylor leads the league in carries, yards, and rushing touchdowns. He's got over 1,200 yards, I believe.
That's the triple crown for running backs,
850
right?
yards, 12 touchdowns. Yeah, he's got 12 right. touchdowns, not 1,200.
Is he your guy too right now?
Yeah, right now it's got to be him. And like you said, with Mahomes and May creeping, and then you still got Baker on the periphery, you still got are looking at this Matthew Stafford. That's the guy I was trying to think of. I have him right.
See, Stafford's the sneaky one, Sags. Yes. I think with it, when they're fully healthy and they get rolling, he's going to end up in that top three or four and could win it. For my money, Stafford still slings it as good as anybody. And without him, they are just if he wasn't playing, they're not a Super Bowl contender. Yeah. He's as valuable to his team as anybody is to theirs. Stafford will be there, but I don't know how we turn away from Mahomes right now, the way he's done it. And 4 weeks ago, you would have laughed at me if I'd have said Mahomes is in that running.
Yeah. I mean, they were just terrible at that point, and getting a little bit more healthy has helped Patrick Mahomes tremendously, and he's turned his game up even more. All right, before we move on to some NBA, because we are going to talk a little NBA and what's going on around that league. Tell me about some crypto, Sean.
Yeah, I definitely will. Crypto's Segs in, they've made a massive jump, man. This crypto stuff that's going on. I was a guy who was, what's the best way to put this? A little distant from it, you know, because we've seen the ups and downs of it. And you say, okay, tell me why crypto for me? Well, I'm going to tell you why for you. Now, listen, the benefits and an explanation of what CRO is, some still don't know. And if you're late to the party, you're not too late to the party. You can still get in. Listen, let's be clear about cryptocurrency. It's no longer emerging. Oh, it's on its way. No. It's here. And it's here to stay. And it's here with this latest move that we've discussed that cements the reality in a big way. Trump Media just linked a massive, in the last couple months, $6.4 to be exact, billion-dollar deal with Yorkville Acquisition Corp. Not a million, $6.4 billion. And Crypto.com, the crypto platform trusted by millions of users worldwide. That's where they inked this massive deal. So they're teaming up to scoop up $6.4 billion in CRO. the powerhouse token that fuels fast, low-fee DeFi staking rewards and real-world perks like cash back on your spends. Don't we all want cash back on our spends? That's the next bonus, right? Spend, 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 cash back, cash back, cash back. We've seen it years ago. Oh, I take this airline, boom, give me cash back or give me miles. Well, crypto's doing that with those great cash back rewards, and it is on all your spends there, right? So to establish America's first CRO treasury, Trump Media Group CRO strategy, when it's done, this new company will be the biggest publicly traded CRO holder out there. The biggest CRO holder out there. So you want in on the action. If you don't, guys, what's it hurt to check? It doesn't hurt anything. Don't be late to the party twice, because then the girl you were going to dance with is dancing with the other guy. Don't let that happen. Get to the party, get to the dance, and go find the girl to dance with. And that's crypto right now. Think about it now. Head to crypto.com today and let's make crypto great again. For more information on this proposed business combination, check out Yorkville Acquisition Corp's public filings. You can go there and see all this $6.4 billion worth. Again, signed a $6.4 billion Trump Media did with Yorkville Acquisition Corporation. And upon this completion, the newly formed company will be the largest publicly traded holder of CRO. To buy CRO, visit crypto.com today. Visit crypto, C-R, you see it right there, CRYPTO.com today and be part of an historic move and a historic company. And you know, if you're late to the party, don't miss it twice. It's crypto.com.
All right. Thanks to Crypto, as always, for being one of our show sponsors. Sean, the NBA, we haven't talked a lot of NBA. And so a few little things. And as you see in our title, the NBA Cup's chaos. The NBA Cup begins. This tournament they do in the winter over November and December. I didn't realize it was starting. The NBA's kind of pushed me away. Yeah, it's kind of pushed me away over the last few years. I still watch some Bulls games here and there. I'll throw it on if nothing else is on. If a good game's on TNT, I'll throw it on. Kind of have it in the background while I'm doing some stuff with my kids or whatever. But Victor Wembanyama, this dude is Dikembe Mutombo and Kevin Durant combined. I mean, the way, I don't know if you saw a highlight of him the other night where he blocked a ball that he was 6 feet away from at the basket when he started. He blocked it easy. Another guy on the other team got the ball, went right up, and he blocked him too. It's just, and they're saying that he's now grown 277. I can't remember who it was that said 7'5". Maybe it was like Sean Bradley or something did an interview somewhere. And he's like, you know, I'm sitting here right now and he was taller than me. I was looking up at him. You're talking about a 7'7" guy who can dribble and handle the ball and shoot like Kevin Durant. And yet he plays defense like he's Dikembe Mutombo in his prime. And the kid's still what? 22? 21 years old, whatever he is. I mean,
look at the numbers. It's crazy, Segs.
He's 21.
Remember when he was, what he got, was it sick or hurt last year, Segs? Did he get sick or was it 2 years ago? You know, the first thing we always wonder is like with the Chet Holmgrens, these guys, lower leg injuries or stuff that slows them down. We've seen it with Embiid. We've seen it with a lot of dominant big men. We just have, and for obvious reasons. It's a lot of body to hang around the court and pound on the hardwood on a regular basis. Well, this kid's different. And you saw him when he came in, he was different. And then you see him the next year and he's different. This year, he's taken it to a whole new level. He has expanded his game. He can knock him down, take you to the rim. The only thing left for him to do is even get a little more physical, right, Segs, when he continues to add weight. Yet if you can't cover him and you can't get in front of him, you can get to the rim or do whatever he wants, can't stop him. You can't get physical with him if you can't get near him. The guy, and my favorite thing is the commitment on the defensive end to be a guy who's not just scoring on the other end and it's four on five on this end, which to me is a true superstar. That's the guy I'm looking for, the commitment on both ends. He's a fantastic player, seems to be a great kid. He's elevated. He's must watch. And I'm with you, Segs. Listen, growing up until I was 50, 45, I'm still growing up, I guess. To me, the NBA, I couldn't miss it. Now, there's so much I didn't want to miss it. Every day I had to watch. And then all of a sudden, you know, with the damn mask shit and all that, it crept in, and then all the race bait, both sides, the constant nonsense, and all the stuff crept in, telling you what you had to do, and creating divisiveness. I hated it. And I got to the point where it's like, I love the talent, but the gimmicks with these in-season tournaments, what happened to playing 82 games and the best get in, the others go home? Why? And goes back to load management. We want to prevent teams from load management. Well, we did that by gambling away this load. That's what you've done. Mm-hmm. Just now that we're gambling away and the mafia is involved, can we get rid of this stuff? And that this play-in at the end where you're giving another team a chance, screw you. If you haven't done it in 82 games, you don't get a chance to do it. Right. And I'm playing. And who in the world's hanging a banner for this tournament? It doesn't even give. It's not like you're okay. You want to really go gimmick? Then the winner of this crazy ass. It's like a college basketball preseason tournament. You know, that we go in Hawaii. Guys are wearing Lays and Hawaiian shirts as broadcasts, and we're doing it. Then let the winner be an automatic. They get an automatic 5 seed or whatever, or 3 seed in the playoffs. If we're gonna go gimmick, go all in.
Yeah,
I can't tell you how this tournament works still to this day. And you know, we talk sports.
Oh, I have no clue.
And I didn't even know who won it until Triple E put
that graphic up.
And they're hanging banners. Shame on you guys for hanging banners with this horse shit. Are you kidding me? And then I watched. We'll get to it. Giannis take 19 steps, and we call this good basketball. This is not to take away from great athletes. The rules and all the stuff are actually unfair to the athletes, because they get away with it. And so we all assume they couldn't play back when Bird played. I hate that conversation, because guess what? Wembanyama could have played then. Okay. Yeah. Just like Steph Curry could have. Just like Larry Bird would be kicking your ass today with these rules. Matter of fact, he'd probably average 40, okay, yeah, and laugh at you while he's doing it. So the crossover were old versus young, with stodgy old guys who say, that guy couldn't play. Of course he could. Some couldn't. Some couldn't handle 82 games. When Jordan's playing 80-plus games 10 or 13 years, and then in his last year playing 82, fuck load management. Pardon my French, but I'm tired of it. And then we get the mafia end of load management, and you owe debts and the rest of it. It's nuts. Now we got these gimmicky – what happened to – so what's next in the NFL? Are we going to copy them? That you didn't make the playoffs, but we're going to give you a chance in a round-robin tournament, 2 extra games for 2 more teams to be added. Are we serious?
We already added a team to the playoffs for the NFL.
Thank you. Oh, Segs, don't count it now. The more the merrier, right? Let's just keep adding money and adding games. The NBA, this tournament, I don't understand it. I don't care about it. You shouldn't have to tease me with a tournament to get a guy to play harder. And here's the catch. Isn't there $1 million pot per player to win this thing?
It's something like that.
I think it's $1 million per player. If that's the case, if I'm not wrong, I don't want to misspeak. So we've asked these guys who are load management, we're trying to prevent load management because they don't want to play in certain times, or we're trying to guard against tank for Wembanyama type stuff, right? So they don't want to play, so you can't tank them. So we're going to give them $1 million at the beginning of the season to the player, but we're going to still charge the same for the ticket. Once again, the fans don't get a seat at the table. The gimmick, the refereeing, the gambling, the load management, the bullshit, the player empowerment, that everybody, that they run the organization, that the organization actually doesn't. And you're talking from a guy growing up, I didn't play high school. I took football until I got to high school. So football, I loved it and I watched it, but it was basketball and baseball for me. And it was all the way through. Even when I was playing football, I wanted to watch basketball and baseball more than I did football. All the way through my NFL career. And here we are now. At times, I can't even stomach it. And, you know, I don't do morning drive here anymore, but I'll tell you one thing. You watch basketball every day because you can cover the team. Now I'm watching basketball on my terms.
Yeah.
On the teams, like, I want to watch Wembanyama. I want to watch a Laker game. I want to watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I can do it. I don't have to watch, and I do want to watch the Rockets this year, because even though they started off, so I want to see KD's impact. But now it's watch when I want to, not because I have to cover a team that I – can you imagine having to cover a team that's not going to show up and play? Can you imagine having to talk about that every day? So – to me, the NBA is a mere shell of its former self when it comes to rules, gimmicks. We want to reward everybody, but it is society. You finished 15th. We're going to give you a chance to get in the playoffs with this tournament at the end of the year, and then, or how it turns out with seeding. You do this, and then you all of a sudden jump up to a higher seed if you were the 10th or 20th. It's nuts. It's absolutely ridiculous. So And this tournament here, I didn't even know it started. And I don't watch it because it's a tournament. I don't care who wins. It's just another NBA game. And if I want to watch the players in it, I'll watch it. Rules and gimmicks and all this horse crap are ruining certain sports. And the NBA, sadly enough, the athletes are watchable because they're so good. The overall product to me is unwatchable because of the load management and the money they're charging fans. And you don't know who's showing up, who's not. Now add gambling problems to it. Good gambling's great. Illegal gambling's you're an idiot. So to me, it is the worst of times when it comes to the NBA with some of the best players you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah, and Michael Jordan, you know, is now a part of NBA on NBC. He did a sit down with Mike Tirico, and he talked about load management. Tirico asked him about it, and he said it was never even a consideration because I love the game, and I always wanted to play the game. The game is what I put all that work in since I was a young kid to become the player I was. I always wanted to play. I never wanted to sit out, but I always wanted to play for the fan, the Chicago fan that was sitting way up like me when I was a young kid, sitting way up in Chicago Stadium or in the United Center, going to watch dad or mom or whoever paying a week's salary to go watch Michael Jordan play. He wanted to play for those type of fans, but he also wanted to play for, and because Tirico asked him, he goes, you wanted to play like in the Palace up in Detroit? You'd never wanted to take a game off there? He goes, no, because those same fans that are motherfucking me from the top, I want to prove to them that I'm the greatest they've ever seen. And that's the drive. That's the same drive that Kobe had. These guys now don't have that.
That's why it's the best in the world, Sex.
And they're
why.
Making double what those guys made in that time period. They're making $70 million
minimum,
a year.
Minimum double.
Fucking days off. You already. I mean, those guys back when Jordan, even to Kobe's days, they're playing back-to-backs. They're playing four games in a week. Now, if you play three games in a week, it's like once a year.
And you know what else?
They've pussified the sport so much, and they've made it unwatchable with the shit they let them get away with, which I want to talk about in a second after you give your point. It's made the game unwatchable, and I don't think these guys are as talented as the guys were back then because they get away with all this shit, and they're still just scoring the same amount of points as Jordan did in his prime.
Well, in the clip we'll show, I mean, shortly, but not yet. I love Giannis, but he took. You could have called four travelings on one play. I mean, it's nuts. So with this too, Segs, about this, I can't ever remember. Now, like when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who battled migraines a lot, like game six of the Sixers when Magic played center, went 42-15 and 7, you know, battling migraines. I get that. Dude, sometimes you just can't go.
Yeah, that's
but I can never thing. Remember. Yeah. Yes, I can never remember a time when I was eight and watching Dave Bing and Bob Lanier play, or however old I was, to watching Walt Bellamy and Sweet Lou Hudson, to Walt Frazier and Willis Reed. Hell, Willis Reed came back and should have been in the hospital with the dog on cast on. Okay, walked back out. We got guys getting carried out because of cramps, being carried out like in a chair. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And he probably squatted to pee while he was at it. Anyway, whoever that, I can't even remember who it was, but not that squat to pee. Crazy enough, I know plenty of dudes that seem to squat to pee now too, just on a normal middle of the night thing, which is to me, I don't get it. But I digress, Segs. You don't call them dudes, you call them whatever, right?
Well, I mean,
well, yeah, whatever. But for me, I can't remember a time when I said, man, I'm going to a basketball game. I hope Magic plays tonight.
Right.
Never had to ask that. I can't remember going to a game and saying, you know, man, Larry Bird's coming to town to the Forum when I was in college, Robert Parrish. And I got to worry about Charles Barkley when the Sixers are the Sun, or I got to worry about Chief Parrish taking a night off. Well, I wanted to see him. I want to see the full Celtics versus the full DJ. And I want to see it all.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They played four games and they played a rough one last night and went to overtime. Got to give him a night off. You get paid for 82. If you're healthy, you should be playing 82. Can you imagine? And I don't want to hear one son of a bitch say, well, they only play 17. They don't play 82. Yeah, well, guess what? Those 17, one of those games is equivalent to about 15 to 20 NBA games. So save it. Okay. And I have nothing but respect for the Barkleys and Karl Malones, the guys who beating and pounding on each other and doing. I love them. Shaq, I get it. But those guys hate it too because Charles wasn't taking time off and neither was Shaq unless they were hurt. It just drives me nuts because you didn't have to worry about those guys. Get paid for 82. Can you imagine if we get to the point? We're seeing a little bit of it in baseball, which bugs me. Can you imagine Josh Allen? Okay, think about the year Aikman took 11 sacks from Philly and got hit about 30 more times.
Right.
Not hurt, but beat up, coming back the next week and saying, Jimmy, I need to take this week off, man.
I need it off.
Well, what's wrong, Troy? I'm tired, and I still got a little scar under my chin from that ass-whooping I took by Seth Joyner and Reggie White and Pitts and Jerome Brown when I played Philly. You know what I'm saying, Segs? Yeah. Can you imagine Derrick Henry?
Don't touch my money. I'm going to sit out, but don't touch my money.
And we should get to a point, so you want load management day? Good. Then that paycheck goes to charity.
Gone.
You don't get your paycheck. So watch how quickly that load management ends, dude. You want a game check? You need a day off? You're not hurt? You can't prove it? You're not sick? Oh, well, that game check's automatically donated. Oh, hell no. I just all of a sudden, my hammy feels better, and I'm no longer tired. So I'm not, well, Sean, the game's changed. The game hasn't changed that much. You get paid for 82. And you know what? If you're able to play 82, you better get your ass out there to play. I'm with Jordan. I'm with Barkley. I'm with Shaq. I'm with Magic. I'm with Bird. I think it's weak-ass coward play to sit because you're tired as opposed to because you're injured. Okay? I can't stand it. And I can't stand load management. And if you ain't playing 82 when you're healthy, guess what? Then you don't deserve to be paid for 82. And if that pisses basketball fans off, well, what do you know? More than you do. Okay? So get to it. It'll end load management. You start taking money away from them, or you start telling them, oh, yeah. Or when the NFL starts doing it, I'm checking out on all of it. He can't play this week, man. He needs a day off because he's got mental exhaustion. We'll get in friggin' line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Isaiah says that, you know, Giannis is an old school player. He doesn't load manage or anything like that. I just looked it up though. Still, how many times has he played 80 games in his career? Once. How many times has he played 70 games in his career? The first five he did. Since then, he's only done it once. So, I mean, this is still, he's out for multiple games. And yeah, maybe it's injuries, but he's never, you know, missed an extended period of time because of a major injury. He's still missing too many games. And let's be real, it's load management part of the time. And we're talking about Giannis. I mean, Triple E, you could throw it up. The travel from last night that you've mentioned, Sean. I mean, this is why I hate basketball, because I grew up playing basketball. I grew up with a grandpa who coached basketball for 40-something years. This is not basketball anymore. I mean, look at this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six steps without a dribble. And this is because – now, and play it again, Triple E. This is because – right here, when he dribbles, it's until he touches the ball with two hands that he technically hasn't started yet.
But he took the ball off the dribble from the three-point line, and he's shooting a layup without putting the ball on the deck another time. This, to me, is, first of all, it's embarrassing that this happened. Secondly, get the refs out. Let the players call their own game if this is going to be the case. I'm kidding, obviously. But if you're letting this go, oh, it's a superstar, it's Giannis, people want to see him score. I don't want to see him score like this. This is bullshit. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. Everybody in the stands should get a refund because, you know what, if he averages 40, then take away about 9 a game.
Exactly.
If he averages 30, take away 9 a game because guess what? He's already – and we see this all the time, dude. If it's not that point, we see three and four and five. And palming the basketball. A guy will have it under. He'll carry it, look around the ground, put it back on the deck. Listen, well, you guys are just being a little too over. No, we're not being overboard.
No.
So say that's humiliating to the league. You think Adam Silver's got a few problems. Adam Silver's got a lot of problems. And if you can't call it right, just like the tush push, which I know we're going to get into, then you know what? Get rid of it or do something else. I just can't fathom that those referees are watching this game thinking, this is good basketball. And if you're a fan, oh, look at Giannis. Look how long he is and getting to the rim. Yeah. The ball should have been out of his hand and back on the deck by the time he hit the free throw line, let alone a layup from the top of the circle. Not the circle, from the three-point line.
Yeah.
Embarrassment.
Yeah. I mean,
and you watch this? Have you watched the full game yet this year? Have you watched the full game yet this year in any team?
No.
Neither have I.
Yeah, no, I can't. I mean.
So those points per game, it probably is 29 right there, 28. Yeah. If and the other ones are turnovers on taking it to the rim, right? There you go. And I love the guy. Guy's a great player.
And it's on the league because they are changing these rules. Again, like I said, the reason he can get away with that because he can dribble. It doesn't matter how many steps he takes until he grabs the ball with two hands. So as long as he can dribble once, and if that ball's
hold just the ball, in his hand, hold the ball under with those big because he can bump from the bottom. His hands are so big, it doesn't matter.
He can run five steps if he wants, and then once he grabs it with two hands, then he gets two steps with the gather step. So really, it's three. So this is why the NBA is stupid.
I never thought I'd say this, Segs. The majority of it, great. Like, I love watching Steph Curry knock down three. It's a blast to watch certain players. I can tell you this right now. Yes, James Harden got away with
the same thing.
James Harden got away with 2,000 points in his career doing stuff like this. I will tell you this. The NBA at times will make you throw up in your mouth. It's no longer appointment viewing for me.
Talk about why guys need load management because of the physicality.
I need load management from this shit. That's what I need. I need load management.
Play this SGA clip. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, reigning MVP, one of the best players in the league. We're talking about James Harden. This is the kind of shit that we watch. And now every single one of these, Sean, except this one, are foul calls. Look at, he just falls down, foul. He's not getting touched. Oh, fall down, foul.
I thought we were done with flop. I thought we were done with it.
But this guy is the MVP. Come on, man. And he gets to the free throw line more than anybody in the league. Yet this is the fouls that are being called.
I love the player, Segs, his talent. He should be ashamed of himself for faking this because knowing he's going to get away with it. Look how many times he's on the deck and nobody's touched him.
This is why Shaq and Barkley are loved so much because they look at the shit and they call it out immediately, constantly. And they say, when we played, we would have made fun of this guy. We would have ran him off our team.
Yes.
Because you don't play like this. Yes, would there be a flop on a charge every once in a while? Sure. But now it's you flop.
I'm talking about offensive flop where you're flopping on a jump shot and a guy's not 2 feet near you. Yeah. Listen, you know when the next time I'll watch a full game? It'll be June for the NBA Finals. I'll watch basketball on clips if it's a good one or say, I want to go watch this game because – you know, Wembanyama's playing against Nikola Jokic. Great. Okay, I want to see it. Until I see – or Oklahoma City play Nikola Jokic in Denver. Until I see a guy who's a great player take 8 jump shots and act like he got hit on all 8 of them and fall to the hardwood and act like he's hurt and fouled and not get get half of them called in his favor, even if he doesn't get one called. At what point in time are you not looking at him like, get your embarrassing ass up. You're a great player. You don't need to do this.
Yeah, I mean –
you don't need to do this. And
the thing that pisses me off, because I know you do too, we love college basketball, but it's starting to
far more than the NBA. It's creeping in.
Yes, it's creeping into college basketball. The constant bitching and moaning about, I mean, every single trip down the floor, unless it's just an uncontested three and like in on a fast break or something, there is no play that goes without a bitching and moaning from a coach or a player on the floor in college or in the NBA. It's terrible to watch the constant moaning. And you're right, Mahomes does flop just as much. He does the same shit as SGA does.
Because he knows he's going to get the call. Yes,
exactly.
No doubt.
And this is part of the league's problem. The leagues are letting this shit happen. And this is why I know the NFL's viewership's up, but NBA's has gone down over the last 10 years. Maybe it's starting to creep up a little bit more, but it's down from where it was 10 plus years ago. Because of this shit right here.
Yeah, it just, I mean, we've shown you two or three examples of why it becomes unwatchable. And the only guys that couldn't last in this league right now in NBA are guys like Oakley, guys that Bill Lane, they did bang you a little bit and could play.
Oh.
Because too many guys would be pussing out right now and looking for refs calls on a regular basis. They would.
You come down the lane against a Lambeer, a Barkley, a Charles Oakley, a Dennis Rodman, any of those type of players, they would clear you out in midair. You wouldn't get a shot off. And guess what? It was just two free throws. Now you're ejected from the game if you did half the shit that Beer Lambeer, Dennis Rodman, those guys did, just in the matter of a play, coming down, a hard foul. Boom, you're gone now.
Think about this too, Segs. Is baseball, football, and basketball. Just those three. Think about what we've eliminated in all three. The physical part of the game. You know, we got to sit there and watch for 5 minutes, get a catcher block the plate. Well, I mean, if you get anywhere near that shin guard before the glove goes down first, they're going to give the guy home plate. Yep. And in football, the safeties can't even be intimidating with a clean vicious hit, a clean one, or you're done, dude, or fine. And then in basketball, we see it every day. It's just we've created this to the point where people are applauding a flag football Pro Bowl game. Would you please stop it? Yeah, I love flag football. It's good for young kids. I'm all for it. I played flag football. But the things we applaud are not the things we should be applauding. Let's put it that way.
Like that right there, this sack from Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle for Washington.
Way too
far. That, oh, man, I throw the flag. That's a flag. Like, I mean, just.
Yeah. Now the other side of that, though, is Segs, think about this. Johnny Newton, listen, the quarterback's going to get up. He wasn't hurt. It wasn't abusive. But if you're playing in this league now, how can your common sense and football IQ 100%. Not tell you, agreed. Don't throw Mahomes down after three steps like that because you're going to get flagged?
You heard you just Troy know you're going to get flagged. It. He basically said exactly what you said. He said, you just have to have, and Newton's a young player, just drafted, but you just have to know, especially after the second spin around where you're still going, it's like, okay, let him go. But Troy Aikman says, especially this quarterback.
Yes, he knows. And I have the sound up for the baseball game. I wasn't listening to the sound of the football game because I'm watching the Dodgers and Blue Jays. But when you see the play, it's like, dude, okay, I understand we're pussified with rules and protecting quarterbacks. And quarterbacks now snap their head around and look for it too. But definitely. It's that guy. I don't care if you're a rookie or 12 years old. Dude, once you got him wrapped up, just bear hug him and kiss him and say, you're in my arms, you ain't just going anywhere.
Up and hold
him. Swing him around. Yet the optics alone are going to make him call a personal foul on you just because, well, it's number 15 in Kansas City. He's getting every hall pass that was ever existed on the field. And you're doing that with a guy who's the best football player in the world the last 8 or so years, right? It's like, well, give him another advantage. He's already too good for the league at times anyway.
And I know part of that is, you know, when you throw a guy down, you're trying to create, not just intimidate him a little bit. But think about it, the fact, like I just said, if you're spinning around and you just pick him up and you hold him up like a baby, this dude's 6'3", 225 pounds, whatever he is. And you just hold him up as a big defensive tackle. I mean, that's emasculating to a guy any football player. You do that, they can't call a flag. If they call a flag, then just cancel football.
Well, they've just basically treated you like a bitch. And you're like, I can't move anywhere. He's straight jacketed me. And like, he's not slamming me to the ground. It's almost a power play by the defensive line or the linebacker.
And then just gently set him down.
Yes, or take your face mask and kiss him on the back his face mask. Yes. Like, got your ass, and then, but don't do it too blatantly because they'll flag you for you know, dead ball personal foul, right? Yeah. So, but the thing about that is too, Segs, and you're right about it. It's kind of a really cool power move if you do that.
Yes,
bear hug him, and what you do is just treat it like it's because they can't see. Just treat it like you're giving him, you know, the what do they call it when you're got something? Boom. Not just CPR, but what do they call it when you're trying, when you pull somebody to pull something out of your
butt? Heimlich maneuver.
Yeah, the Heimlich. Yeah, well, not the Heimlich, the Heimlich maneuver. Well, yes.
I mean.
Yeah, well, I mean, it works. Say it again. In truth, though, but you give them that little Heimlich, right, Segs? That's kind of like a bitch, I got you, and this is worse than me slamming you to the ground, right? It really is.
I'm not even listening to you anymore. I just hope Laura cuts that and puts that on social media.
So you're past the Heimlich, and you've already you're left back at the Heimlich back burner as opposed to the Heimlich, right?
Today is done.
When you said some people are in that, and I actually raised my hand. That was a mistake. I didn't mean that.
Laura, if you're listening, which I know you are, you just cut that and put it all over everything.
After she's done picking up her jaw, laughing her ass off at this, she probably will. Hey, I'm only human. I'm just trying to save lives, Segs. Save lives, okay? That's what I'm trying to do.
I don't even know what to say anymore. Let's quick do our poll questions. Did you stay up to watch game three of the World Series, the 18 inning? 82% said no, which I kind of figured. It's a long game, and baseball's tough to stay up for, and baseball just
I overall, did, you did, but yes, yeah, but I get why most I would have said most didn't, would have dominated, and there you go. So
yeah,
would have agreed.
And then our poll question today, which I'm reposting at this second, who will be the next head coach at LSU based on the Kalshi top four right now? Their top four in order were Lane Kiffin, John Sumrall, Nick Saban, which is kind of why I picked this question today, why I put it in our chat and said, hey, I think this will be a good one, because they have Nick Saban at number three, and then they have Eli Drinkwitz from Mizzou.
For those who don't know, too, Seg, Sumrall, guys, is the head coach at Tulane.
Tulane, took over
for Willie Fritz, is really good. The area, familiar, recruiting, gets it. He comes in high regard. But those four guys being mentioned, and remember, Kalshi also is a futures prediction place. Right. So it's a great place, Kalshi, who we love, and it's legal in 50 states. Guys, you can jump all over this. Everywhere. Yes. You go on, you're getting the same love, and they're also going to track it, unlike you got to go look up on. They're tracking it, but it feels like by the second, Segs, of it's 84%, it's 81%, it's 92% of this guy. So it kind of gives you a good look at it, and on the run, you can change, you know, move your pick around while it's in real time, Segs. So the Kalshi has been a godsend for people like you and me that love it. Yep. They want to see it, and they just make it so simple to use. And you can pop on there and get it. I've started, Segs, am I crazy to think that Lane Kiffin might be deep in this mix for this just because it's great football and a great fertile recruiting ground?
He definitely could.
The more I think about it, is he crazy to stay? And I love Ole Miss. Is he crazy to stay? If it's offered, is it a foregone conclusion that he's done?
I think so. Yeah. And I would say that for LSU or Florida, if they're offering money that he is saying like, okay, that's enough for me to go, I think he has to go, and he can choose whichever one, because I think each one has its winning points that you can go there and win a national title. I still don't know that he can at Ole Miss.
Okay, and I will say this, and maybe it's for a poll tomorrow or the next day, Segs. We got to, you know, we get out in front of this for Kalshi. If he goes to Florida or LSU, I'm speaking, if Nick Saban goes to LSU, they are winning a national championship. Make no mistake about it. At some point, sooner than later. If Lane Kiffin, the choice between, let's say it comes down to Lane Kiffin, where will he win a national championship faster? Or will he? That's something you got to mull over, Segs. You think about that. I am too. Yeah. Which place can he win it faster? We talk about LSU, great players in that area in Texas, obviously. Florida's got tremendously fertile playground to go in. Mm-hmm. Or will he come up short regardless of where he's the coach, and will he get lumped into that category? I think Lane Kiffin's a hell of a football coach, and he's matured since his days as the Trojans and the rest of it. He's really good. I'm curious to see how people would feel. Do you feel, Segs, don't answer this now, would he win one at either place? Which one faster? Or would he still be searching for one when he was done at either one of those places?
Yeah. All right. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We're going to talk NFL. We'll start kind of looking ahead to some weekend games, see if we have any good games that we think could be good. I do want to talk about the Tush Push, as you said, and how they're officiating it. Just
There's no time limit on that, Segs, because it's going to be every single week we're watching this shit. Yeah,
it's going to continue. World Series game four last night, Blue Jays tie it. Shohei didn't show up and pitch as well as we thought he would, gave up four runs, and the Blue Jays were able to tie it. We got game five tonight, Blake Snell versus Treya Savage, the youngster, the 21-year-old, making his start, another start in the World Series in the postseason. So it'll be interesting to see who takes the lead here.
Segs, one real quick before we go about that game last night. See, here's, and you hit it, just like we kind of said yesterday, that our expectations of the guy are so abnormal, meaning Otani.
Mm-hmm.
The guy gets on base nine times the night before. plays 18 innings, the entire game, has the wear and tear. He's got to fight his way through it. He got into this, into the sixth, seventh inning. What was it, the sixth? He got knocked out in the sixth or the seventh? He got through the sixth. He got knocked out in the seventh inning.
Yes, he got knocked out in the seventh.
He got out of the sixth. Yes, he struck out a guy, got into the seventh inning. We're sitting here saying, well, he didn't pitch very well. Damn, the dude, after all that, still managed to save a bullpen for a while by getting to the seventh inning after coming to the plate nine times and hitting two home runs, two doubles, walking five times, one intentionally. And we're sitting here saying, most guys, you know what they'd have got, Sakes? A load management day. That's what they would have got if this was the NBA for two straight games, not just one. So while they got beat and Guerrero got to him, and we know Toronto, when they get rolling, they can rake. But in truth, to get to where he got on the mound, Sakes, to get into the seventh inning, we don't get guys with 5 days, 6 days rest getting into the sixth inning in the regular season with a pitcher. We call them heroes. All the guy with 5 2/3 after he threw a three hitter 6 days ago, and now we're saying that's what I mean. We are so unrealistic. He only pitched into the seventh. Shame on this guy. It just where the bar is a whole. And we had a guy who I like, who's a regular friend on Twitter, say that Ohtani can't shine Bond's shoes. Well, as a guy hitter, and I think that as if. It made it sound as if Ohtani wasn't in the team picture. I beg to differ. Yeah, he's in the team picture. Nobody's arguing that Bonds may be the greatest hitter we've ever seen, eye combined. But considering all the stuff Ohtani does, not only is he in the team picture, that may be limited to about two or three guys, and Willie Mays you may be able to add into that damn thing too. There you go.
100%. All right, so we'll talk about Game 5. That's tonight. We'll talk some NFL. We'll start looking ahead to the college football weekend, and then – we'll continue to talk. Maybe find some.
And does anybody want the Heisman, Sakes? Does anybody want the Heisman Trophy?
I don't think so. Not this year. It doesn't seem like it. Nobody wants to run away and hide like we've seen in years past. So maybe we can look into those odds from Kalshi and see who, you know, is there somebody maybe further down the list that you think, okay, here's some good odds. Here's some good future odds. Let's go grab him at $10.
Good prediction to jump on. There you go.
Yes. We'll talk about that tomorrow as well. Thanks to
Laura. Tell your friends to subscribe too. Get your to subscribe and share with your friends. You're going to get it authentic. And then we love you guys on here. So we'd love you to share it, because we intend to make this the best place for you to get residency for anywhere to go for your podcast as we continue to roll forward. So
we're here every day at 1 Eastern, noon Central. You know we will be here. So check us out. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell people you don't like. I don't care. Just tell people.
We take them too. We take them all. Yeah. We have an open border for this show. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's open. It's open. Now, don't get carried away. Don't carry it away, or DT may come in and run you out. Okay. So open border on this show.
Sean is the Joe Biden of this show. He's open
your borders. Ass. See that hat up there? It says MAGA. And see that one says 45 and 47. I don't see one Biden thing in here. I don't have a zombie walking across my dog on my floor right now. Say,
so we're going to end the show that Sean is the Joe Biden and he likes to Heimlich.
Well, but I'm not kissing kids on the forehead that are four and smelling their hair. So get me off this show. Now that you mentioned a guy that I wouldn't have voted for if I was dead, okay? Well, I guess I could have voted if I was dead. I wouldn't have voted for if he was dead. But then again, you thought, well, we waltzed around like there was 4 years of nothing happening. So here we go.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow, 1 Eastern, noon Central. We'll talk to you guys later. Peace.